Hello, everyone. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It's my first time doing something like this, but hopefully I can impart something memorable and useful. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 13 for me. And we're going to be looking at love. So I recently had a friend get her wisdom teeth removed, and if you know anything about that, then you're given anesthesia, and it's called laughing gas. And by the end of it, you're very loopy and very loose with your tongue. After the surgery, after she slept a little, she told many of her friends via text message, including myself, that she loved them while in this abnormal state. And she went on and on. I was obviously in a platonic way with everyone, and I said, "Oh, thank you, I love you too," as you would. And afterwards, after the effects wore off, she texted everyone and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry that I texted, I'm so embarrassed." And that got me thinking, why are you embarrassed of showing your love to people who know that you love them and that they love you back? Why are you so embarrassed about that? I think the world right now could use a lot of love, and maybe that's why I was thinking of that. And after this incident, I decided to see what Scripture had to say, and I came across this passage. I looked more closely at it in 1 Corinthians 13. And in it, Paul describes the qualities of love we are supposed to have towards others in the world. And while trying to be brief, there are a few lessons I think we can take away from this passage, as well as others, on love. So one is that we need to be very genuine with our love. Verses 1 through 3 of this passage say, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So I think it's pretty obvious that there needs to be love behind our actions. Paul makes it pretty clear. But there also needs to be something behind our love, I think. So often we are told and we hear to love thy neighbor or love your neighbor. And that is, when you really think about it, that's a very difficult thing to do. Because, think about all the people you encounter in everyday life, Christians or non-Christians alike. People are nasty, cruel, selfish, arrogant, spiteful, hateful, mean. Who can love someone like that? And we know of one person who did that, who loved everyone like that. But what is asked of us. And this seemingly impossible task, how do we do it? And if you turn with me to Luke 6, verses 27 to 31... we're given some examples of how Jesus loved others, or showed his love to others. Here it says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." And we read that verse a lot, but afterwards, "Bless those who curse you, pray to those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away his coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." And our actions show love, and I think there's something purely genuine in sacrificing something, whether your energy, your time, your money, personal possessions. It's something that shines our love onto the recipient of the sacrifice. And we surely feel that with Jesus' sacrifice. He did that for us. And so, as Jesus showed his genuine love for us through his words and actions, let us also do that for others. Another lesson from the 1 Corinthians passage is that we need to love like children. And every summer, I volunteer as a counselor at a 4-H camp. And that lets me gain experience looking after children between the ages of 8 and 12. I know that I have much youth and inexperience in life, as I am only 19, but I am amazed at the love children show towards everything, all of God's creation. When you show them something that you would consider, say, mundane or boring or uninteresting, they are in awe because they've never seen something like that before. Their faces light up. They go like this, like, whoa. And many of you who are parents, you can attest to this when you see your children growing up, I'm sure. And at least for me, with all my campers, my lovely, lovely campers, it brings me joy to see this. And it's part of the reason why I volunteer there year after year. Now, Paul, though, talking about putting away childishness in verse 11 in the 1 Corinthians passage, he talks about that, but that is in relation to reasoning and knowing about the world and knowing about the church. Children love with patience, kindness, and truth, hopefulness, and all the qualities that Paul ascribes to love throughout the passage. Are we not also God's children? When Jesus had the little children come to him, as it's described in Luke, it's interesting to see that he said right after this happened, and said, let the children come, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And how else can one receive the kingdom of God besides with love, and therefore childish love? And finally, and the one last lesson that I've seen is that we need to love like God loves us and all of his creation. God's love has infinite patience, demonstrated by his faithfulness to the Israelites, though they were constantly unfaithful to him. Furthermore, God loves his creation, and we ought to show the same amount of love to it as well. And in the Brothers Karamazov, which is a high-quality book that I love, it says, love a man, even in a sin, for that is the semblance of divine love, and is the highest love on earth. Love all of God's creation, the whole and every grain of sand in it. Love the animals, love the plants, love everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. And once you perceive it, you will begin to comprehend it better every day. And you will come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love. Sometimes I think we fear loving God's creation because we associate it with loving the world, and we're cautious of becoming attached to it rather than staying faithful to God. And I think this is a reasonable fear to some extent, but appreciation of the creation only grows the faith. Did Job's faith not grow when God showed him the marvels of his creation? He was starting to doubt, at the very least, with his friends saying all these bad things about, or trying to get him to doubt God. But Job kept the faith, and what God, it's very interesting how he responds with saying, look at what I've created. Am I not magnificent? And I think he is. I guess what I'm trying to say is that to not love the world, but love God's creation in all his glory. Through the creation, we see that God's love is not passive, but passionate and joyful. And through the creation, as David wrote in the 52nd Psalm, we need to trust God's unfailing love and show that same type of love to others. And that's evident through his creation that he created for us. 1 John says very poetically that God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. In other words, we ought to be reflections of God's love. If there's anyone here today that feels it necessary to become a prism of God's undying love that he shows to you, then it is possible, which is made possible through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Come forward tonight as we stand and sing.